we said attractor fields. We said from the viewpoint of nonlinear dynamics, chaos theory, each of these fields that calibrates here is a calibrated field of energy at the center of which there is a so-called attractor field. There's an attractor field. You might picture it like when you see the birds as they swing about in a huge flock and the design that they play. What you're seeing is the demonstration of an inner invisible attractor field. And that attractor field is dominating them. So what you think is that each bird is following another bird, like pilots in the sky. No, they're not. Each bird is following the inner, his own inner song. His own inner song is telling him to go this way. And this bird's inner song is also telling him to go this way. And this bird's inner song. Each bird is independently controlled by the energy field. They're not controlled by each other. They're not like pilots, 10 feet from you, 10 feet from you, 32 feet from you, 44 feet from you, and so on. That's the ego's view of it. No. Each of these birds is surrendered to be the servant of its inner guide, and it goes as it's guided by the inner attractor field. And the way we isolate and identify an attractor field is merely by kinesiology. The number of people over 200, we say it's increased, yes. When we wrote the book in 95, I think we did the calibrations in 94, consciousness level, we said that, I forget all these numbers now, but the number of people on the planet who have risen in their level of consciousness has increased quite a bit. It was 80% of the people were less than 200, now it's only 78%. So the consciousness level of mankind is constantly rising. I mean, groups like this and the spiritual work they do, you know, affects the whole field of consciousness. I mean, what we're doing and saying today is affecting the whole world. Let's see. That's a factor, isn't it? The ripples that go out are affecting the whole field of consciousness. So all the people in the world committed to the evolution of consciousness radiate out into the field, and that field is like the sea, and that sea then supports the consciousness of everyone. People elsewhere wake up in the morning and they suddenly make a different decision today than they have made all their life. I've always thought this way, and suddenly they say, you know, I could see it this way. Well, that energy out there makes it harder to be negative, so it's harder to be negative now than it was. It's very hard to be negative. I mean, you got to work at it nowadays, you know. You got to go off in some god-awful place on the planet and listen to some really weird people and get brainwashed in order to be that way, you know. Now it's hard to do that. Do the demands of ordinary life interfere with spiritual evolution and work? No. As we said, everything gets contextualized differently now. Everything gets contextualized. And you shine everything out of love for God. You sweep the floor out of devotion to one's children and family. You peel the potatoes for the same reason. Can techniques which lower one's brainwave frequency also raise one's level of consciousness? I don't know. I never asked that. What they're meaning is, they're talking about here alpha wave training. The answer to this is yes. Says yes. There are various techniques. Or does it work in the opposite direction? Works in the opposite direction. Yeah, the more advanced your consciousness gets, the slower your brain waves get. And finally, they become ridiculously low. You wonder how you survive. Anyway, there is a brainwave every once in a while that keeps you going. To function effectively in the world, you got to have 15 cycles per second. 14, 15, So I have great hopes that President Bush is running at about 400, is running at beta rhythm, 10 to 14, or whatever it is. We didn't really answer the Bush question. The Bush question is one in which you, how you contextualize it. To defend one's honor, to defend the innocent, to stand for truth is the archetypally the spiritual warrior. The spiritual warrior is not aggressive. The spiritual warrior, however, is extremely fierce if you challenge him. Within ourselves, sooner or later, we get confronted. And we have to find within ourselves the strength to stand up and defend truth, which is not an act of aggression. It's an act of assertion, and it's an act of confirmation. If suddenly somebody comes and starts destroying your world or destroying your people or destroying your country, then out of love for the remainder, out of love, one defends against undue aggression. It would be Bush's responsibility. In fact, his oath of office would require that he support the Constitution and that he defend the life of Americans when they're under attack. That's his constitutional commitment, and I think it would be a spiritual failure not to do so. Let's see, okay? Let's just see if that's so. The president's commitment, which he has taken an oath, is to defend the American people against undue aggression and resistance. You know, he's under oath to do what he's doing, and he would be quite in error not to do so, to defend the innocent. So if someone is attacking your home and your family or your children, then you ethically and spiritually are entitled to defend that which is being attacked. You remember when Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple? I was wondering what that meant. You mean he was angry and had a fit or something? Didn't seem like Jesus to me would have a fit about the thing. No, but he came into it out of his spiritual warrior and said, this is an non-integrus. And it's a desecration of what the temple stands for. So he was like defending the truth. You understand what I'm saying? That explained it. So that was the first time I really understand what he was about there. He was sort of like indignant about the desecration. So, like each of us feels a certain indignation that the innocence of these probably extremely devoted Muslim boys is being raped and taken over by that which is non-integrous and telling them lies and getting them to destroy themselves in service to that which is the opposite of love and truth. You know? All of us feel a certain indignation about it, indignation. You can take any young child, you know, and brainwash them and into believing anything. Anybody's seen things on the History Channel about life in Hitler's Germany, remembers how the children were carefully brainwashed from childhood. They couldn't believe anything else except what they believed. So their innocence, their intrinsic innocence is taken advantage of. On the other hand, you have to defend yourself against them. You understand? You don't have to make somebody wrong to defend yourself against them. Out of innocence, they can run you over. Out of innocence, they can kill you. But so you have to take self-protection. So that's how I see Bush. He's obligated to defend the country against that which he considers to be attack. The other thing about politics is, you know, because what we know about politics only comes through the media. Well, what comes through the media has been strained, mangled, distorted, and twisted, and decided, and you don't know what the truth is, so you can't really have a political opinion because you don't know what the political facts really are. I've been in circles back east where over lunch, like it was nothing at all, great barons of industry and finance would say,
Oh, come on, quarter of a point. Yeah, all right, quarter of a point. The lives of millions of people have just gotten screwed. A quarter of a point, everybody is mortgaged across 50 million people. Well, you're talking about billions, you know what I'm saying? So, does the public know that went on? No. Do we know what Bush knows about the international situation? We don't know what it is.